On this episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, game picks for week 6. Then later on, we'll recap the Thursday night game of the Giants and the Eagles. Jaguars and Seahawks, Rooski game of the week. Can the Jaguars stay high and can the Seahawks bounce back from their heartbreaking loss to the Buccaneers last week? Sunday night football features the Chiefs and the Lions. And another London game where it sees the Jets again, but this time they'll be taking on the Broncos, who are hot after their big upset victory against the Eagles. And wouldn't you know it, double Monday night football action. Oh, I love it. I love it. Give me all the football. Give me all the football. This is Paul Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Gostich. Got a good one set up for you today. Week 6 of the NFL tonight. The Giants and the Eagles will be taking each other on in MetLife. Jackson Dart, first primetime game against a Eagles team that, well, that's an Eagles team that's going to be looking for more offensive production. And actually, finally, so if you watch the podcast on Tuesday or listen to it, I should say, because we've been having some editing issues, to say the least, which is why there was only 26 minutes of video podcast from this past week. But the full episode is still up on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, and so much more. Friends over at Squawking Eagles, when we were recording on Monday, sent them a quick DM, just wanted to get their opinion on Kevin Petullo and the whole A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith situation from the Diane Russini report that came out on Saturday, last Saturday, I should say. The fate of the Eagles offense and Kevin Petullo's job security will come down to one thing. Can he finally figure out how to consistently unleash the potential of A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith along with Saquon? That's another thing that people forget. Ending the quote real quick. That's another thing that people forget is that Saquon is also on pace for like half of the yardage that he's supposed to be on or from last year. Restart quote. If the frustration continues, it won't be solved by just drawing up a couple of extra plays each week. It will point to a deeper flaw in the team's offensive execution that requires a much more significant overhaul. Petullo is walking a tightrope, burdened with the difficult task of balancing the demands of his head coach, a passionate fan base, and 2 of the most talented yet vocal players on the roster. So we'll see how that comes into play later tonight as we are currently recording about 4 hours before kickoff right now. And then later on the show, we'll give a little recap of the game. Long, short, kind of depends on how that game turns out. But, I mean, CJ, you want to say anything about what our friends at Squawking Eagles had to say?
It's so weird that the Eagles, who, you know, they're 4-1, they're in relatively good shape, are this unhappy. And it's also weird that it's rightfully so, you know? Usually when you have scenarios like this, you often think to yourself, oh my God, you know, the fan base is just whining, right? You know, they want everything to be perfect. Not everything can be perfect, but it's just really weird, you know? Like, that's really what it comes down to. It's just a really, really just weird little scenario where even though they're winning, the offense just doesn't pass the eye test. And yeah, obviously it's because of Petullo. I mean, they lost Kellen Moore as OC. And we've seen this before. Whenever Philly loses an offensive coordinator for the next year, they kind of flounder, they struggle. Like, remember when they lost to Kansas City? and in the Super Bowl. And then afterward, Shane Steichen got hired as head coach. Yeah, the next year, their offense ground to a halt. And it's just the same thing again. They might, maybe Sirianni's coordinator dependent, maybe, maybe not. You know, I'll let you guys at home debate that. But something has to be done because a lot of times these internal promotions, like Petullo was, because he's friends with Nick Sirianni, a lot of times just don't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of like Gerard Mayo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't work out. But yeah, we won't touch too much on it. I mean, and made this point on Tuesday's episode as well. You know, it's, this was an, this is a bit of a gauntlet that the Eagles had. And the fact that they came out 4-1 is still a good sign. And this was the first game, this Broncos game that they lost was the first game in exactly a year that the Eagles had lost a game where Jalen Hurts had started and finished said game. So you could make the, also make the point that, well, the Eagles might just be fine at the end of the day.
I mean, are they fine? I guess technically, but like I said, they remind me too much of last year's Chiefs team where they're not winning due to game planning. They're winning just due to fucking Deus Ex Machina. You know what I mean? Where every game's a goddamn nail biter. Every game's down to this, like down to the wire. Like you are sweating it out. And that's just not how it should be. It's not sustainable. Hell, Kansas City learned it last year. Did they not?
Yep.
So for Philly, like I said, I genuinely think that loss is good. It's going to force them to reevaluate things. So hopefully they learn for their sake. Hopefully. Yeah. Oh, I'm not convinced they will, but hey, hope springs eternal if you're an Eagles fan. I'm not, but I imagine it does for them, kind of.
Yeah. Really. All right. Risky game of the week. Jaguars and Seahawks. Who would have thought? Who would have thought this would be an option for game of the week for us, huh? I mean, Jaguars, who would have thought they would be four? I mean, the AFC South sneakily has, like, two of the, you could argue, two of the best teams in the conference.
Yeah.
Both the Colts and the Jaguars being 4-1. I said this on Tuesday's episode, too. Like, this is a Jaguars team that, you know, I feel like this is a team that's starting to finally figure it out. Like, that Monday night game against the Chiefs, they never win those games. They never do. So the fact that they came out and won that game, and that's a game that the Jaguars will always lose and the Chiefs that will always win, and it flipped. So that's when you know that things are going the right way. Seahawks, tough loss against the Bucs last week. Do I think it's going to hurt them immensely? No. This team that still has a good defense at the end of the day. Sam Darnold has been playing still some... I think that the questions on if Sam Darnold would still be able to produce in Seattle like he did in Minnesota have gone away. Like, Sam Darnold's producing. JSN is showing out to be a top 10 receiver in the league right now. Cooper Kupp is still doing his thing. Jaguars, Brian Thomas had a solid day, or BTJ and Travis Hunter made some really big plays in the win, or to help them get to that win. And Trevor Lawrence, starting to finally see what he was supposed to be this entire time. We're finally starting to see Clemson T-Law at his best. But CJ, what's your pick?
Well, we are seeing Clemson T-Law again, and we knew they had potential. And like I said, like all it took was coaching, because Doug Peterson, he's a bridge guy, you know. Urban Meyer was never going to get it done, even from the jump, we all knew that. But now you bring in an actual, real, like legitimate, proven offensive mind in Liam Cohen. Well, yeah, obviously, that's going to work. But when I'm looking at first Seattle, is injuries. So one of the reasons they lost, not the only reason, because, you know, the Bucs had their fair share of injuries too. We all knew that. Devin Witherspoon, Julian Love, and DeMarcus Lawrence all didn't play last week. And that's, you know, your starting safety, your top safety, your corner one, and one of your best defensive linemen. According to the Seahawks website, while they remain out, there is, quote, positive progress. And I feel like some of them might be game time decisions. I wouldn't expect all three to play, but I am expecting at least one. If I had to hedge my bets, probably Witherspoon, because they need him out there. And when I look at the Jaguars, my question is, you beat Kansas City. That's impressive. No, I mean, to beat them in the way they did. But can you do it again? You know, there was some weird tomfoolery going on down there, you know, and I'm not saying it was a fluke. I'm not saying they got bailed out. I'm not saying any of that, but you've caught lightning in a bottle. Can you do it again? And the Seahawks are a similarly tough test because while their defense isn't as good, at least statistically, their offense is better. This is one of the NFL's big, you know, high-flying offenses. You know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is looking like a stud. Cooper Kupp, come on, it's Cooper Kupp. We already know what we're getting there. Tight end A.J. Barner already has like four touchdowns or so on the year. You got to, when you talk about the Seahawks, you got to give A.J. Barner some love. You just have to. And that two-headed monster in the backfield of Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, that's just brutal. And Darnold is conducting the offense fairly well. Unfortunately, that pick did doom them, but hey, he had four passing touchdowns outside of that. I don't think you can really hate that. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to be the Seattle offense versus the Jacksonville defense. That's what it's going to come down to. And as a result, I'm going Seattle. I will lean Seattle on this one, because I trust their offense more than I trust the Jacksonville defense. And the Seattle defense is banged up, but I'm going to need the Jacksonville offense to step up again.
I like it. I'm going to go opposite of you on this one. I'm going with the Jags for this week. And I'm going to have to say my main reasoning is going to be the injuries on defense. And well, I'll read them. You already listed off most of them, but let me give you the real progress. Ernest Jones did not practice Wednesday. Julian Love did not practice. Devin Witherspoon did not practice. Tariq Woolen turned in a limited practice. DeMarcus Lawrence did not practice. Nick Emmanuori did not, limited participant. And Derek Hall did not participate. All bad signs. And feel like if you're not, like, at the very least, if you're not practicing Friday, that's usually the telltale sign you're not playing that week. But give me the Jaguars. This team's hot. I feel like the Seahawks are a little bit down in the dumps, especially with those defensive injuries. Give me the Jags offense doing what, not exactly what the Bucs offense did, but give me the Jags offense having themselves a day this week. And you had something you want? Wait, just looks like you want to say something.
No. I was just thinking about it. I was going to mention that Adam and Tuck agree with your pick, so it looks like I'm lone wolf in this one.
Seahawks are favored by 1.5, over under 47.5. All right, NFL London, Jets versus Broncos. Broncos.
Yeah. I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
We don't really need to belabor the point, obviously.
Yeah.
But there is one question.
What's that question?
Aaron Glenn was one of the hotter coaching prospects last offseason, right?
Yeah.
We thought it was a good pick. And if they lose this game, obviously they're going to be 0-6. They'd be the last winless team in the league. If things keep going, let's just say they only get like two, maybe three wins on the season, is Aaron Glenn going to be a one and done?
No.
Or do you give him another year?
I give him another year because, like, the team that he has at hand is absolute dog shit.
I mean, yes, but But Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, your two offensive studs, literally don't do anything until garbage time. To my knowledge, I don't think the defense has even forced a turnover.
Well,
that's unacceptable when you have guys like Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, Jamie and Sherwood, Sauce Gardner, Will McDonald, that one safety whose name escapes me, among others.
I still just think the Jets are just dog shit. Like,
I'm not debating that.
At the offense, and it's like, no wonder Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson don't do anything until garbage time, because all they do is, like, you're basically betting on the Jets to have 200 yards rushing at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that was what the report said. They were going to be run first, but even still, the run game just isn't going anywhere.
Exactly, because the whole team is shit.
Yeah.
Oof. Like, you could basically...
I get it, but it's just the heart is fading. You know, Aaron Glenn, I mean, I don't blame him. I actually don't. I think he's got a lot of heart, but it looks like the team is just, like, when you go out there and you watch them, they're not that nasty, defensive, punch-in-the-mouth team anymore. They just look so over it. And that's alarming for when we're going into week six. They're just, the effort just isn't there.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, no, I mean, the effort's not, I don't know. I don't know if I can really say that, because they are in a lot of these games.
I mean, they are, but
like Dallas.
Look, I'm not an expert, but a lot of it's just body language. I mean, that's what it is. They are doing the typical pose of like, okay, like they're just kind of resigned, you know? You know, like when teams make a mistake, they, you know, they yell, they get mad. They're just like, ah, you know, blurt out an expletive. But these guys, like, they're just, when they make a mistake, they just kind of slump their shoulders and saunter back to the sideline. Kind of like what I said about Bryce Young not too long ago. It's just, I don't know. I like Aaron Glenn as a coach, and I think he can be a good coach, but I don't know. There seems to be a disconnect between what he wants and what the players are doing.
I think the problem you're looking at is more from this last game, because they did get the brakes beaten off them at home against the Cowboys, and it wasn't even a game by like beginning of the third quarter. Because and maybe Buffalo too, I'd have to watch that back. But like, I just feel like you can't say that when three of the first five games that they played were one score games. Like, especially like if you're a Jets team going up against Cowboys, right? Like, let's just take that for example. It's hard to not like be so down in the dumps, because you're out, like, you know, you're losing the game. You're going to lose the game. There's no way for you to come back into this game. Like, obviously you got to show some sort of better body language for that, but and keep fighting. But it's understandable at the end of the day, because there's no hope. But I mean, for the Jets' sake, all right, hot take for this game. This morning, my buddy Donovan, he texts me and our buddy Cooper for our game pick, like our one pick, because I guess he does this Survivor League for his girl, either with his girlfriend or he makes the pick for his girlfriend. And he texts us and it's like, all right, like I'm feeling either the Broncos or the Eagles. And I was a little, for both, I was a little, I didn't really know what to say for either one, because I felt a little weird about it. Like, for some reason, I felt like this could easily be a game where the Broncos could come out flat and the Jet, like, because Jets are last beaten team right now, and they're still hungry for a first win. And the Eagles haven't been looking great. Giants are hot. Well, not hot. They just lost to the Saints, but divisional games can always be weird. London games can always be weird. So I sit, like, if you're going to do anything, go with the Broncos, but part of me says do with caution. Part of me says that. I don't know. It's a gut feeling. Maybe I'm wrong by the time noon time comes around on Sunday, but I don't know. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into the rest of the early afternoon slate. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. TCJ, I'm Chris. Let's get into the rest of the 1 o'clock games. Forgot to mention this. Teams on the bye this week. Only 2 teams, surprisingly. It's Minnesota and Houston. All right. Colts and Cardinals. Colts and Cardinals. Colts are favored by 7.5. Over-unders 46.5.
Colts.
Colts by a million. I'm pretty sure there's a chance that Kyler Murray isn't even going to play. He didn't practice today.
Yeah, I know he's banged up, but even still, even if he is there, then what? They lose by 21 instead of 24.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I see it. And look, we could debate whether or not the Colts are real if Daniel Jones can keep this up, but they're going against the Cardinals. And the game we saw last week where they were playing the Titans and they completely collapse. You know, you had another one that like fumbles before crossing the goal line and that weird interception turned fumble for a Titans touchdown. That's the kind of shit. That's a morale killer.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of plays that even though it was week 5, that's the kind of stuff that can like doom your season.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that.
So yeah. And honestly, Jonathan Gannon's seat is starting to get a little warm, and I would not be shocked if the organization is losing patience with Kyler Murray. I know I would be.
I would 100% be losing patience.
You can say a lot about him, about his arm strength and his running ability. He's just not a leader. Like, I'm sorry, he isn't. And give me the Colts. Like, you, in the words of the immortal Christopher W. Kostich, that's you, Colts by a million.
Yeah. Chargers-Dolphins. I see this as a massive get-right game if you're the Chargers.
Absolutely.
You are going to be down Najee and Omarion Hampton, though. So it's Hayden Haskins, or is that?
Hassan Haskins?
Hassan Haskins, thank you. And Kamani Vidal. Vidal just called up from the practice squad. Well, he was called up from the practice squad last week, but they just signed him to an actual contract. I want to say either yesterday or Tuesday. I forget. But those are going to be your 2 backs. Should you be worried? No. You should not be worried because Miami's defense is ass. Miami is ass. Look, the offense looked good against the Panthers.
But that's all the Panthers.
Yeah, and got to hand it, you know, Darren Waller, first 2 games back after retirement, got to hand it to him. But I don't know how much longer that's going to last. So, yeah, give me the Chargers, get right game. All signs lead to L.A. Bolt out.
I'm also going with the Chargers here. Yes, I know their offensive line is among the most injured in the league. Yes. I know that they're down RB1 and 2, but this is more about Miami being bad. You know, the only time Tua is looking good is when he carves up these awful defenses. And, oh, my God, you hung 3 touchdowns on the Panthers. How do you do it? How did you do it? They still lost, by the way. And for the Chargers, I just want to see Herbert air it out and pick that Miami defense apart. Give me the Chargers.
I like it. Pats and Saints. Pats and Saints. Here's a stat that I think you will love, CJ.
Okay.
From Ben B. Baldwin, PFF data after this week of football. It's true pass set grade for every single team in the league. You know where the Pats are? You want to know where the Pats are?
In true passing, where?
Fifth.
Oh, nice.
In terms of true pass set grade, as like pass blocking, not like the pass game as a whole.
Not pass blocking, yeah.
Yeah. Rated 62 for tackles, 58 for guards, 62 for centers as well. Do you know who's in? You want to know who's in sixth?
Who?
The Titans.
Huh.
Their tackles are shit, but the interior is good. That's like they have the highest, like their guards have the highest true pass set grade in the entire league, which I don't understand. But
me neither. But May and Ward, I think, are the most sacked QBs in the league. So,
yeah, would make sense. I don't know. That's currently the weakness for the Pats right now. But if you look at their grade, it's or just the three grades for the linemen or the lineman position, it's all very similar. It's 62, 58, 62. So,
fair enough. Yeah. But for this game, it's going to be in the Big Easy, which is notoriously difficult to play in. And the Saints defense is, I think, one of the more slept on units in the league. But I still have to go at New England here. I think I'm going to keep riding the high. They're going to New Orleans. They're going to handle their business. You know, Drake May, Stephon Diggs, you know, I think they're going to keep it going. And for the love of God, can they play Travion Henderson? Like, I said this earlier in the year, and unfortunately my prediction's coming true. I said Josh McDaniels has a really nasty habit of redshirting his rookies. I mean, that's always how it's been. Even when they're like picked in the first three rounds, he rarely plays them because, you know, he values them sitting on the bench more. Well, I'm sorry. Why did you draft Travion Henderson early second round as a really highly touted running back prospect just to sit him? That doesn't make sense. It's not right.
They genuinely have to. And the unspoken reason is that he's not a good pass blocker.
Okay, so he's a running back.
Yeah.
Like, all right, if you want a blocker in the backfield, then put the goddamn fullback out there. But it's like, oh, he's not a good pass. Yes, I know you have to be able to pass block if you're a running back in the New England scheme, but come on. Literally, just that's all I have to say is just come on. That's such an archaic way of thinking. Regardless, I'm still going with New England because New Orleans, that's just a team. Hey, they're fighters. They have no quit in them at all. They like to make it close, but I just don't really trust Spencer Rattler at all.
Yeah. Hey, coming off their first win of the season, and good for Spencer Rattler for finally getting that goose egg off the board. But yeah, give me the Pats all day. Pats by Bill. Win like that against Buffalo can only mean good things, or it should mean only mean good things. So that's what you're hoping for. All right, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So this was the big storyline from this week. Joe Flacco got traded to the Bengals. And then there's another trade, too, between the Browns and the Jaguars, where Browns and Jaguars swapped cornerbacks. So that was fun. And names are escaping me at the moment. And
I think it's Greg Newsome and Tyson Campbell.
Probably. I'm just looking right now. Where is it? But in terms of this game, this is just, oh yeah, Tyson Campbell and Greg Newsome swapped. So Tyson Campbell to Cleveland, Greg Newsome to Jacksonville. So yeah. Browns Steelers. Steelers are favored by 5.5 points in Pittsburgh. Dylan Gabriel, start number two of his NFL career. Shedeur Sanders is now QB2. Do you want to guess what the over-under for this game is?
For the Browns and the Steelers, 39.5.
Just missed it by a point, 38.5.
Oh, my God.
You might as well set the line to 30.5, though, because this could be interesting. Pittsburgh coming off the bye, though. So, a little reset for them. Interested to see how much they work. Kenneth Gainwell in the system this week as well. Especially after his big outing against Minnesota in Dublin. So, see how everything plays out with that. The Brown, this is going to be a slobber knock. I think that's going to be a very fair thing to say.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how Dillon Gabriel does against a terrible pass defense for the Steelers. I'm very, very interested to see that. Especially since he didn't play bad against the Vikings. The Browns put up 21 points against the Vikings last week.
Yeah.
Wasn't 24, 20. Wait, did they put 21? Yeah, they put up 21. I was looking at the Steelers schedule still. That's why I said that. But yeah, wasn't like Dillon Gabriel had a bad week last week.
Yeah, Dillon Gabriel was a pretty solid. It's one of those things where, like I said, when he came out of the draft, he's a game manager. You know, that's what he did. You know, he came out. I mean, even though they lost, he looked fine, managed the game. He took what the defense gave him. The deep ball is still a concern. Like, the way he had to, like, just really put his whole body into any ball that went past 20 yards is actually really concerning. And the Pittsburgh pass defense is terrible, so maybe that cancels each other out. I don't know. But that front seven, that's going to be something to deal with, especially since the Browns' O-line is terrible. Like you said, it's going to be a slobber knocker. It's just going to be ugly. Capital U-L-G-Y, ugly.
Yeah.
And I think the home field advantage is going to help Pittsburgh a lot. Maybe if it were in Cleveland, I'd be more inclined to go your way. But I am going to have to go with Pittsburgh
right here.
Because I trust Aaron Rodgers a little bit more.
Yeah. Looking for the Browns to do better on third down. Went 3-for-15 last week. Interested to see how Quinshon Judkins does as he's basically taken over RB1, had 110 yards rushing last week. So interested to see what kind of rookie action we get for Cleveland in terms of that backfield. Carolina and Dallas, two teams coming off of a win. Carolina seemingly like they have a little bit of life again. Rico Dowdle is probably most likely going to be taking RB1 reps again because status of Chuba Hubbard is still unclear. No CeeDee Lamb for the Cowboys again for another week or two. It's in Charlotte. Dallas favored by 3.5 over under 49.5. Kind of stuck on this one. I don't know why. Like, it feels like it feels like it should be Dallas, right? It feels like it should.
Yeah, it does.
But, like, there's also something in the back of my mind that's just like, It's also something in the back of my mind. It's just, I want to pick the Panthers. Maybe it's because, you know, Cowboys defense is ass, and seeing what the Panthers are able to do against bad defenses kind of puts that in my head. Question is, though, like, that's the big question, is there's this thing that keeps going on with Bryce Young. He has a bad start to the game, but then he's able to pick it up. But that's if he's able to pick it up. And when he does, some fireworks happen.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And the other thing is, are they going to be able to get Rico Dowdle going the same way they were against Miami? I say yes. I say yes. Give me the Panthers to get back-to-back wins.
I think this is going to be a Bryce Young game. But when I say that, I do not mean it in the good way. I think this is going to be one of those times where you need him to stand and deliver, and he sits and does nothing. Rico Dowdle going against his former team in the Cowboys, maybe they'll do what Jerry wants and stop the run. I don't know. But I also don't trust the Panthers' defense, which I thought would be better than it actually is. Dak Prescott you know, we all like to make fun of him, but he's kind of been playing lights out. This guy's just been slinging the rock all over the field, and he's, I believe, top five in MVP odds.
I was about to say, sneaky MVP guy right now, and hey, made the point before the season. Dak has a number two, a good number two. He's going to go off, and he was doing good prior to CD getting hurt as well. Even with CD out, it seems like he hasn't missed a step.
Yeah, George Pickens has stepped up nicely and able to keep his outbursts under control. But overall, I trust Dak more than I trust Bryce Young. And that's why I'm going with the Cowboys. Because, yeah, congratulations. You carved up the Dolphins, who are also terrible. But now we're getting progressively more difficult. As where I think the good feelings end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This also just has Dallas, like, sneaky loss written all over it.
Oh, yeah, no, it does. You know, we know how the Cowboys are. I understand why. Adam picked the Panthers, too, but Tuck did pick the Cowboys, so we split on this one, it would seem.
Yeah. Baltimore and the Rams. Rams favored by 7.5. Road favorites, I should add.
Well, yeah, because Baltimore's hurt. They're not. I know he's technically questionable, but they're not going to have Lamar Jackson. They said he'd miss 2 to 3 weeks, and this would be week two. Yeah. You know, the defense is still injured. They can't get the run game going, which is very bizarre because it's Derrick Henry. And even when they do get him in open field, he's fumbling, which is not a very Derrick Henry thing to do. But on the flip side, what the hell's going on with the Rams? They're dropping very winnable games. Like, they're losing in shootouts, which is, you know, usually Stafford wins those. But I think this is a get-right game for them, even though it's in Baltimore, which is also a tough place to play. But Baltimore's just so injured, and Cooper Rush is so uninspiring that I have to go with the Rams here.
Oh, yeah. It's Rams by a million. It's Rams by a million.
You, me, like... by the way, Chris, Tuck picked the Ravens.
Oh, of course he did.
But
I mean, Adam, I pick the Pats every week. He picks the Ravens, so it's fine. I'm not mad about that. But, like, yeah, you seeing how they just played against the Texans was dog shit. Like, and the Rams are a way better offense than what the Texans have. And to go off of what you said about Derrick Henry, it's not that he's not doing good. It's the fact that they don't get him the goddamn ball. They barely get him the ball. And yeah, when he actually does it.
We never know why.
Yeah. 15 carries for 33 yards last week. Like, yeah, there are times where it's like, all right, well, that's just not part of the game plan. He hasn't hit over 50 yards rushing in 3 of his last 4.
Ugh.
Like, the game against Kansas City, he only got 8 carries. The game against Detroit, only 12. The game against Cleveland, 11. And the point that they were trying to make for the reason why he's probably going to get less carries this year is it's basically load management, right? Like, that's basically the whole reason. But what good is it going to do when you're 1-4? You're 1-4. What, like, give him the that's your best offensive player. Just give him the goddamn ball.
Well, that would be a question for Harbaugh, isn't it? And I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. NFL fans, Ravens fans, anyone really who knows football in any facet, when the hell are we going to have a conversation about John Harbaugh? Because I'm going to be frank, it is long overdue. I don't care that Lamar keeps playing well. I don't care if they make the playoffs every year. This is another team that just underperforms. And every postseason, they get their lunch taken by Kansas City or Buffalo. And this year, don't cry to me about injuries. You were looking not that great before that. Derrick Henry still wasn't running well before that. You were still losing games before injuries. And hell, even when Lamar went down, you know, you heard the Ravens fans crawl off the, you know, crawl out from the harbor there in Baltimore and say things like, actually, we were going to win if Lamar stayed in. Oh, no, no, you weren't. The game was already lost when he went down. It was late in the third quarter. You were getting your ass handed to you. Shut up.
Yeah.
It should be over for Harbaugh, and I think he needs to get canned.
Yeah.
But knowing him, he's just going to be like, oh, but the injuries, that's why we were totally going to win it all this year. No, you weren't.
No. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the late afternoon games and Sunday night and Monday night football. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Week 6 late afternoon slate. And we'll start with the Toilet Bowl, the Tennessee Titans, and the Las Vegas Raiders. 2 1-win teams. Only one will get their second win. Raiders favored by 3.5, over under 40.5. This was the first time, I feel like, all year that the Titans offense against the Cardinals, that fourth quarter, actually looked like something. Actually looked like something.
I would say the over-under should probably be like, what, 35.5, 34.5? Yeah. I mean, I think that's a little generous.
I mean,
I would expect more points from the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game than I would the Tennessee-Vegas game. I just would.
But you also, the thing with the Steelers and the Browns is that they at least have, like, the Browns have a competent defense. The Steelers have somewhat of a competent defense. These two teams don't have any defense.
And they don't have any offense either. And you know, Geno Smith just force feeds turnovers to the defense. We already mentioned this, 9 interceptions and across 5 games. That's ridiculous. It's unacceptable. And oh my God, to borrow the term you use, this is a slobber knocker. This is, in the words, there's another sports YouTuber you guys may have heard about there called Urinating Tree. He has a term for games like this. It's called Tank Bowl. This is a Tank Bowl. These are two teams that are going nowhere fast. You're playing for picks at this point. So, yeah, Raiders, Titans. You know, God help me for saying this. I'm going with the Raiders here, or the Raiders, as Chris likes to yell. I like when he does
that. Raiders.
Yeah. No, I'm going with the Raiders here just by virtue of I trust Pete Carroll more than I trust that absolute glue eater there in Brian Callahan. And God, I feel so bad for Cam Ward. I do. But while Geno does turn the ball over a lot, the Titans defense is not very good. And I think Ashton Jeanty should have a good game. But for the Titans, no, just no. You shall know no kind of joy. You shall not know any sort of joy. So long as Brian Callahan remains your head coach, give me the Raiders by, I know the NFL isn't too that, give them by like a quarter of a point. It'll be like 1 point, it'll be like 1.25 to 1.
All right.
They're so bad, it would break the rules of scoring. And that's just how it is. Look, that's just the way things are. I'm just the messenger.
Fair enough. Packers, Bengals.
Wait, Chris. You want to give your take, maybe?
Raiders. Pete Carroll, Raiders. Yeah, it's the Raiders.
Oh, by the way, Adam and Tuck went Titans.
I mean, you could really go either way on this one. I don't
think really it's good. And it's not for any good reason.
No, exactly. Bengals, Packers. So this is the other half of the Joe Flacco trade, right? So Flacco. Yeah. Gets traded to the Bengals, which you don't really often see a midseason trade of quarterbacks like this. Start, or at least one starter to the other team. But of course, Flacco also just got benched. I fear for Joe Flacco's life. I really do. I fear for him. He's a 41-year-old man that is basically been given unintentionally the death penalty with what he has to deal with. as his O-line, on top of the fact that he's got to deal with Micah Parsons a second time. But that's the other glory in all this, is that Joe Flacco has already beaten the Packers once. So he is going to try to terrorize the Packers once again. And all of Green Bay Nation and every single one of those Green Bay fans that are stockholders in their publicly traded team. Here's a fun stat for you. Ja'Marr Chase has more solo tackles than eight very notable players in the NFL. Would you like to know who those players are?
I would, yes. Don't tease me. Come on now.
Ja'Marr Chase has 5 solo tackles. He has more tackles than Eric Armstead, Harrison Smith, Kenneth Grant, Boye Mafe.
Minnesota legend. Put some respect on his name.
Hey, my bad. Matthew Judon. Jalen Carter. And Micah Parsons.
Oh, my God. Oh, Bengals. And by the way, if you're a Ja'Marr Chase fantasy owner, I should be getting credit for those, but I don't.
He, at one point, was leading both teams in tackles last week alone.
Yeah, that's just the Jake Bryan experience, Bengals fans. Sorry about that. But I'm going with the Packers. However, a small, evil part of me wants to pick the Bengals because you may remember Joe Flacco already beat them in Cleveland. But since he's weird, because he has much better weapons, but the line is so much worse. It killed Joe Burrow. What that Bengals offensive line is going to do to Joe Flacco, that's practically elder abuse. But this time it's in the tundra. It's in Green Bay. Give me the Packers. Don't get me wrong. I think, Chase has got a touchdown in him. I think Green Bay's going to get their licks in, but it's probably going to be like, I don't know, like 38 to like 17, 14, something like that.
Yeah. Give me the Packers in this game. I think that Joe Flacco is going to be due to have a better passing game, even though he's been equally as bad as any other quarterback in the league. There is a reason why he got benched for Dylan Gabriel. I don't know if the change in scenery is really going to change that, but I'd say Packers by a million. They're not going to let Flacco beat them again.
Yeah.
San Francisco and Tampa Bay. 2-4-1 teams. And another awesome matchup where the Niners are still beat up. And we get Mac Jones for another week. Looking at the Tampa side real quick. Man, I'm disappointed in the fact that Chris Godwin didn't take over as wide receiver one again. Granted, he's still 2 weeks removed from recovering from his ACL tear. But Amika Igbuka, wide receiver one, got Godwin as number two right now. But once Mike Evans comes back, he's probably going to end up being a three, which is insane to say. On top of that, Cade Otton, once you get Bucky Irving back, it's him and Rashad White. And Rashad White had a really good game last week. Cade Otton had a solid game too. Cade Otton, such an underrated tight end.
He really is.
Yeah, he's at the very least a top 10 tight end. This offense is going to be straight nails. Baker Mayfield is an absolute killer. And that's all the reason I have to give. Give me the Bucks. But this is going to be a close game, though. Obviously, I talk about the Bucks like they're going to blow the Niners out of the water. But Mac Jones has performed well in this Kyle Shanahan offense. He is producing wins while their actual QB1 is dealing with injuries. Now, Mac Jones is beat to shit himself. There is that. There is that. So I expect Tampa to be getting after the quarterback a lot this week. A lot. But either way, give me Tampa in this one.
You know, I'm also going Tampa here. And I know Mac Jones banged up. I think he's going to keep it close. That's more so just how the Bucs roll, unfortunately. They're another cardiac team where, yeah, they're 4-1, but it's really shaky. And because they're at home, I do tend to favor them a little more. And this is one of those games where I think that real high-flying Bucs offense is going to really highlight the fact that San Fran is dealing with a lot of injuries. And I think Mac Jones is going to go out there. He's going to make some plays. But I just think this is really where you start to miss, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall and whoever. I don't know if Pearsall's even back, but if he is, it's not going to matter. This is one of those games where, you know, if you were healthy, you could probably win, especially since Tampa doesn't like to close out games to the very end. But it's Baker. It's literally just Baker. That's all I got. That man will his team to victory. Give me the Bucs.
Yeah. Before we get into the primetime games, there was one other thing from the Packers game I wanted to have you guess. What's the spread for this game? Packers by, what are they favored by?
10.5.
14.5. Sunday night football.
I never guess this. I never do.
Sunday night football, Chiefs-Lions. Lions are a wagon right now. We talk about the Colts. Lions are a wagon right now.
You have to go with Detroit here. You really do. And it's not even that I don't respect Mahomes and Reed and all them, even in KC, but that kind of loss to Jacksonville where you have it, three costly penalties in the final 2 minutes, the fact how 13 seconds is too much time for Mahomes, the fact that they could not capitalize and they came out looking flat ever since, that, you know, they got the touchdown and then just completely got the wind taken out of their sails. You have Chris Jones, Mr. $100 million man, making business decisions. That just doesn't bode well against a high-flying Lions team. And even if the Chiefs defense can give the Lions some trouble, the Chiefs offense has been really hot and cold. I mean, Mahomes does have 8 touchdowns through the first 5 games, but a lot of those are in concentrated spurts. You know what I mean? Like there's one game he'll come out and just chuck it like he always does. In the next game, he just falls apart entirely and dies. Regardless, I got Detroit winning in Arrowhead.
I got Detroit as well. I feel like have definitely come back down to earth a lot. They're making a lot of mistakes that the average teams make. They are not looking like the Chiefs. That is for certain. But the Lions are all that in a bag of chips. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. Give me Detroit. Monday Night Football, and God bless America, we got two Monday Night Football games. 7:15, Falcons-Bills. Bills coming off of a heartbreaking loss on Sunday Night Football to the Pats last week. The Falcons had the bye. So they're coming off a bye. And before that, had a big win against Washington after they got the shit kicked out of them against Carolina. In terms of this game, I'd say it's not get right, but this screams Bills. This game does scream Bills. Like, I don't see the Falcons coming away with a win here. Defense has looked better. Penix definitely had a better week against Washington, but I just like the Bills more in this game. I just do. Especially with Josh Allen's career record on primetime games. besides Pat's game last week, but his career record in primetime games is very good. And Penix, curious to see how he does primetime at home. Because I don't think, have we seen that yet? I don't think we have.
Not to my not. Wait, was the Vikings game in primetime?
Yeah, but that was in Minnesota.
Oh, fair. Primetime at home. Good point.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. And Josh Allen is good. I think that they're going to get Josh Allen going more. Most importantly, they're going to get James Cook going more. I think that's going to be the biggest thing here. And that's because he kind of got shut down against the Pats last week. So expect James Cook to be more involved in the offense.
This. I'm sorry, Falcons fans. We still don't know what Michael Penix is. I know he's shown flashes, but he's also had some really ugly games. And a lot of people are like, oh, he's got the sky's the limit. I would say pump the brakes. Like I said, we really don't know what we have when we look at him. So I have to go with the Bills. And I think they're going to be playing angry after their grip over New England has officially been shattered. Well, not officially, but, you know, it's not like one of those games, like I said in the past, where when New England won, you could put an asterisk on it. Nah, Buffalo lost that fair and square, and you know they don't like that. And they're looking to march down to Atlanta and do what General Sherman did back in the day, just raise everything to the ground. Elite history reference if you get it, but if you don't, learn ball, I guess. I don't know. But for Buffalo, yeah, that's definitely what I think is going to happen. I think Atlanta, I think it's going to be one of those games where they start out sluggish and they're probably going to heat up like third quarter, but by then it's going to be too late. I think Atlanta's going to get their shots in. You know, if you're a Drake Leonard or Bijan fantasy owner, don't worry. But if you're doing pick 'em, pick Buffalo.
Yeah. Second Monday night game, Commanders-Bears, rematch of last year. The first time that these two teams have played since the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary game. And guess what? This game's in Washington again. Bears coming off a bye. Washington coming off of a big 27-10 win against the Chargers. This was a weird, the Commies game against the Chargers last week was weird. It's very weird. Like, this was a sluggish game that Washington didn't take full control of until Justin Herbert's goal line interception. And maybe that just goes to show that Commies are going bend, don't break. But especially, yeah, it was Jaden Daniels' first game back from injury. But you would have expected a lot more. Granted, Chargers also have a good defense. Bears starting to pick it up a little bit. But I think if you're the Commanders, you need a good would you say that the Commanders' win last week against the Chargers was a convincing win?
I would lean that way, yes.
I guess I'm looking for something that doesn't lean that and more guarantee of or more of a definitive, this is a convincing win. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I'm looking for this week from them.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get that. I do have the Commanders. Just the Bears are still stuck in that limbo. I mean, they look fine sometimes, but other times they just get their doors blown off. And I don't think they're about to march into Washington and win, especially now that they're reinvigorated with the return of Jaden Daniels. Especially after that Chargers offense got held to like 10 points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am going with the Commanders. I have to, and I think now that Daniels is back, they're going to start cruising again.
Yeah. Like, the Bears are in this weird spot where they're going to, like, I feel like that they're just more average at this point. They're not the Bears from last year, but I think they're at a point where you would consider them average, right? Like, they won by two scores against Dallas. They also lost by 30 to the Lions. They also squeaked away a 1-point victory against the Raiders too, but Raiders on the road. And I don't know. It's this Bears team's just too weird for me at the moment. They're 2-2. And like you said, CJ, I'm still puzzled on where exactly the Bears are going this season. I know exactly where the Commanders are going this season. Give me the Commies. All right. That is our week 6 NFL game picks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a little recap of the Eagles-Giants Thursday Night Football game. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostic. Oh, baby, did we see something. Giants shocked the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, 34-17. Wow. Shocker. I mean, I low-key kind of said it at the beginning of the show, though. Low-key kind of said, I got this weird feeling in my gut right now. And for some reason, it's the Giants and Eagles game, and it's the Jets and Broncos game. I don't know what it is, but I just feel really weird about it. And I ended up taking the Giants spread in my pick'ems, or my other pick'ems. And I even said take Giants spread, and that hit, along with the money line. But, boy, that was – Jackson Dart was unreal tonight. Let's start with the Giants first, then we'll get to the Eagles. But Jackson Dart was unreal tonight. Camp Scataboo was running like a goddamn madman. And CJ, you were starting up on Camp Scataboo, and I cut you off because I wanted you to save it for the show. So I'm going to leave this Camp Scataboo time for you right now.
Camp Scataboo reminds me if Rob Gronkowski was a running back. Just maybe a little nuts, but oh God, if you're a defender and you see him coming, just say your prayers. You know, might be the first player where CTE actually upped his game. Yeah. He even throws mean blocks too. Like, you know, it's all fun and games. So you're a defender trying to rush Jackson Dart, and Cam Scataboo's coming at you head first like the goddamn juggernaut from Marvel. Oh my God. He had like 3 touchdowns tonight too. See, that's the thing. For me, look, we all love Jackson Dart, and everyone, you know, is talking about him and how he played. But Camp Scataboo, 19 carries for 98 yards. That is 5.2 yards a carry and 3 touchdowns. Wow. That man just showed up and took no prisoners. Then, of course, you know, Jackson Dart, 17-25, 195 yards and a touchdown. Not too shabby himself. But yeah. Oh, also 59 rushing yards and another touchdown. But this was really the Camp Scataboo show. That guy just Philly had no answers for him. Like, they were hitting him behind the line as a scrimmage, and he refused to go down. And when they tried to stop him on the goal line, and he ended up just mogging Zach Bond. I mean, Bond had a clear shot at him, and Scataboo just said, "Nah, I don't think so. Get out of here."
Bro, he little boyed him. Yeah. He little boyed him.
He little broed him. That's what it was. He just said, "Nah, little man, get off me." Damn. Cam Scataboo. What a legend. You know, he was one of my favorite running backs in the draft, but you already knew that.
you want to hear this stat?
I would, probably, yes.
So he had 3 touchdowns. He is the most recent now. The last New York Giants running back with 3 rushing touchdowns was Tiki Barber in 2006 against the Washington Redskins. Second running back all time now for the Giants to have 3 rushing touchdowns in one game. 3 rushing. That's the key here. 3 rushing, not 3 total. 3 rushing. Jackson Dart, third quarterback all time to have 50-plus rushing yards in three consecutive games. He's now up there with Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. Boy, he looked slippery tonight. He was making some big throws, and he was creating a lot of space for himself to make a lot of big plays. Like, I was just genuinely impressed with the Giants altogether tonight. Yeah, first half was kind of a shit show, especially the end. And you and I were both like, what the hell is going on? And like, it started with Brian Daboll's timeout, like bailing out the Eagles from getting a delayed game. And it was like, Jesus Christ, shit like that is going to be what's like on top of the Daniel Jones, like performing like a mother down in Indianapolis. Like, shit like this is what's going to get you fired. And then Philly goes and does the same freaking thing, essentially, or not really, but they had no timeouts left. So 9 seconds to go, and Jalen Hurts able to get down with 9 seconds, but there's just no urgency. No urgency at all. Like, it's like they just didn't plan for something if they weren't able to get the ball out of bounds. And it was terrible. I was like, what the hell did I just watch? Like, a terrible end of the first to a very entertaining first half. And that's kind of been the story with the Eagles this year. It's saw in the second half, they didn't put up any points and they were slow. They looked bad. Jalen Hurts, yeah, he had 289 yards passing, but he did not do, or 283, pardon. This was not a great game. Like, in Saquon was running the ball great. Like, he was, like, we talk about Cam Scataboo. Mm-hmm. Saquon was running the ball really well as well, but then they stopped getting on the ball because game started getting out of hand.
Yeah. This is just another game where the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles just forget how to play two halves of football. Look, yeah. Philly. Let me explain this to you. There's two halves of football. It's a 60-minute game. Each quarter's 15 minutes. Now, you can stack them all together. And like I said, you can get an hour, 60 minutes. Have you considered playing all that? They didn't score at all. And I'll give them a skosh of credit for the first half. They kept it close. I mean, it was a high-scoring affair, at least for the first half. You know, it was 2017. And then they got outscored 14-0 in the second half. They did nothing. They just abandoned the run entirely, which I get it. I do. But if Saquon is moving the ball at all, then, you know, maybe you don't abandon it entirely. Then, you know, Jalen Hurts had that awful interception in the second quarter. And that was pretty much it. You know, they set the Giants up in plus territory for that Scataboo touchdown. So, yeah, that's honestly, like, my big takeaway here is just, once again, other than Cam Scataboo is an absolute menace, once again, the Philadelphia Eagles do not play the entire football game. And it gets to the point where we've hinted at this before, but now I really have to say it. When might we, I don't know, consider firing offensive coordinator Kevin Petrullo?
Because I wouldn't be surprised if come Monday they do it, or even tomorrow maybe.
Yeah, like they have to. And look, I know maybe I've taken a shot at Sirianni by calling him coordinator reliant, but this is now a trend. Whenever Philly gets a coordinator poached, they start floundering.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it happened before and now it's happening again, or at least Sirianni.
Yeah. So Jalen Carter being out for the Eagles did no favors for them either. Because,
and don't get me wrong, Jalen Carter, he's a big game wrecker, but I don't know if that's going to save him from like a 3-score game.
No, definitely not. But it definitely would have helped the matter, is what I'm saying. Like, that definitely hurts, but that was not the reason they lost this game. But Philly 1-for-9 on third down. Giants were 11-for-6. They were almost automatic on third down tonight. Back to Petrullo though, dude. Like, I think the players are sick of him at this point, because
we know Brown and Smith are. I mean, they're upset.
Yeah, and there's been like an instance or two where Jalen Hurts is like, I think, bickering with Petullo as well on the sideline.
He's literally ignoring him. Like, he's changing the play calls.
Yeah. So this is just an ugly situation right now. And it kind of feels like similar to 23, right? When there was a lot of like, Jalen Hurts was starting to go a little rogue because he was disagreeing with the play calls and stuff like that. It was kind of similar. And here we are. And even the touchdown that they scored where they went four tush pushes in a row, it was like they got the first down. They tried it again near the goal line. And A.J. Brown just like throws his hands up and he's in the air. It's like, Jesus Christ, like, let's run something else. Like, I'm not trying to run a tush push four plays in a row. Like, get the point. This is a dominant play. And we're showing that we can do it if we really want to, but we really shouldn't be. Like, at that point, you could have just as easily lined up in single back or goal line formation and just have Saquon run it into the freaking six hole and you're good. Like, yeah, but I think you can definitely just see on the field that the players are just sick of it, of the shit. But yeah, I don't know. Just here. The four tush pushes in a row just really pissed me off. It just really pissed me off. Not because like it should be illegal or whatever. It was just like, this isn't fun to watch. Like, now this is not fun to watch. Like, it's fun. Like, it's fun when it's like fourth and one. And it's like, all right, here we go. Like, it's fun. Like, when it happens every now and then. But then you run it four times in a row. I just want to gouge my eyeballs out. Yeah. So Eagles are most likely going to be in early bottom three. And when we do top three, bottom three on Tuesday, I'm hoping to, I was hoping to get a quote from our friends at Squawking Eagles and maybe a mental health check-in as well. Make sure that they're doing all right over there. I can imagine their callers that have been leaving their voicemails for them throughout the games are going ballistic right now.
Yeah, I would think so.
I might have to tune in.
I think that both sides are going ballistic. You know, it's a darty in New York right now. You know, yeah. I mean, you got Jackson, Cam, Scadaboo, you know, they're happy, but all in Philly. Oh no. Forget climbing the light poles, they're tearing them down now. And our good friends at Squawking Eagles, man, just pray for them. You know, he's going through it right now. Old Mike's going through it, man.
Oh, yeah. It was a good day for me for fantasy-wise because I had Jake Elliott, and he knocked down a couple kicks. And
yeah, also I had
Jackson Dart as well on another league. And Dallas Goedert on my dynasty team, and Dallas Goedert put up a nice number for me. So it was pretty happy with the fantasy output today. Oh, Dallas, 26 points from Dallas Goedert.
Nice.
Nine catches.
I'm going up against Jalen Hurts in fantasy, and he dropped 21. It would have been more, but then he threw that pick. So,
tough.
20-ish. But I did have Jake Elliott, too. So it is what it is. I need Justin Herbert to pull through for me here.
Yeah. But yeah, that is our recap of the Giants and Eagles Thursday night football game. Giants with the upset victory at home on Thursday night football. Anything else you want to touch on from the game?
Not really. I mean, I really wanted to tear into Dable for that timeout at the end of the second, but that was only.
But it didn't hurt him.
Literally didn't hurt him. So, yeah, literally just no harm, no foul. There is one stat, though.
Okay.
I'm always up for it. Interesting. Here's what I think. You say what you want about Dart and Scadaboo and the Giants defense putting belt to ass on Philly, but there is one stat that I think tells the story of the game.
Okay.
Third down efficiency. The New York Giants went 11 for 16 on third down. The Eagles went 1 for 9. And I'll grant you, the Eagles did go 2 for 2 on fourth down, but 1 for 9 on third down. Yeah, you're not going to win jack against the Giants or anyone else.
especially when you can't get off the field yourself.
Exactly.
On defense, that is, of course. But, yeah. Giants, how about it? Two wins and three starts now for Jackson Dart. And that'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Rescue Podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRescue_podcast. Keep up with Pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we will see you next Tuesday. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Over and out.